The Capital Connection is a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals standing with more than 600,000 workers in education, human services, and healthcare with the Our Voice, Our Values, Our Union campaign. And United University Professions, representing 37,000 academic and professional employees at SUNY campuses and teaching hospitals across New York State. Frederick E. Cole, President, UUPinfo.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us this week is Fred Cole, president of the UUP, United University Professions, the nation's largest public higher education union. That's pretty impressive, representing more than 35,000 academic and professional faculty in the State University of New York. Welcome back, Fred. Always great to have you here.
Thanks. Good to be here.
How's higher education doing in New York State? Is the governor doing a good job?
Well, I think there's a mixed record. The governor certainly has emphasized access to public higher education with his proposal and then the ultimate passage of the Excelsior Scholarship Program to broaden access to the middle class. That was a good step that was taken. But at the same time, I think it's imperative that we take a look at the issue of funding for public higher education going forward, because our budgets have been pretty much flat since the Great Recession. Yeah. And also, I think it's imperative on us, which is why we're proposing a whole a set of ideas. I think it's important, before we start talking too much about the money that needs to come into SUNY specifically, we need to make sure that that money is addressing specific issues facing the state.
No, Fred, now that the Democrats have taken over both the Senate and have the House, and a Democratic governor, there are those people who think that CUNY, the City University of New York, is given more stuff than SUNY is. Is that a fair analysis?
I don't think so. I think that there needed to be some work on our part to make sure that those who were newly elected to the New York State Senate and newly positioned as leaders in the New York State Senate to become aware of SUNY's issues. And we've been very successful
to travel beyond Yonkers.
Exactly. Right. And Senator Stavisky has been fantastic. She put together a series of public hearings in October and November.
And she's the chair?
And she is the chair of the Senate Higher Ed Committee. We're going to have another hearing just in a couple weeks, next Monday in New York City on capital funding. UUP will be testifying, as we have testified at all the hearings. The New York State Senate and the Assembly has a very strong record as well. But they have really gone out of the way to learn about the issues with the intention of addressing them this session.
Now, I'm sold that I do remember back when I got started that the big fight was between the public sector and the independent or private sector. That seems to have quieted down, yes?
It has, and I think it's because there's an awareness that we share common issues, and those are issues of access and quality. And to be honest as well, there have been some private institutions that have suffered a great deal financially and have a difficult time surviving, those smaller and middle-sized private schools.
So shouldn't the government bail them out?
Well, I think that there are other options available. We have SUNY schools in almost every community in the state, which offer excellent opportunities for students to attend. And I would prefer that that be the first priority for public dollars.
Are the kids voting from the SUNY campuses? I know that there was a huge fight to allow them to do that. Basically, the Republicans in the state wanted them to go home to Long Island, from right. wherever they were to vote, and they weren't going to do that. Right. And then a federal judge, Neil McKern, I believe it was,
yes.
Who had run for Congress himself, who would have won had he had those votes.
Yeah.
he opined, and now they can. Are they taking advantage of that right
they
now?
They are. In fact, there was a pretty historic election out in Geneseo just a couple of years ago where students registered to vote locally and ran as candidates to the town council and were elected. And so they saw immediately the impact of the power of voting.
Well, you know that our own Blair Horner, who does commentary for us and is the head of NYPIRG, had an idea to have a polling site on every college campus. Shouldn't the college campus be a place for voting? Shouldn't there be one on every college campus, considering how the concentration of students is?
Absolutely. We should take every opportunity to make voting easier, not more difficult. And that's an excellent idea. We support that.
Okay, here's a tough question. Why is it the Republicans are always against making voting easier?
I don't know, especially when you look, if you go far enough back in history to the 1800s, to the time of Lincoln.
That's a long way back.
It is a long way back. And some of the most progressive ideas were, you know, coming out of the Republican side. I think there is, unfortunately, the belief, I won't say belief, there is the political calculation that the way forward for the Republican Party is to restrict voting to protect what they see as their base. I would recommend, as a person who was raised in a Republican household in Massachusetts, which was unusual, except we used to have some liberal Republicans over in Massachusetts, like Ed Brook.
Silvio Cundy.
Exactly. Great congressman. And so in reality, what the Republicans need to do is to grow their party, to advance conservative philosophy with ideas and policies that solve problems, and then they could grow their base.
Well, is Trump popular among students on SUNY?
We see that there are pockets of support. I think it's a skewing in terms of he certainly doesn't have the 40% support among young people.
No,
in
he's
any
skewing
kind
the
of,
country.
Yeah, and I think that really what you have is maybe 20% of students supporting Trump. And I think it must be really tough for those who are from more traditional Republican families to support this guy.
Well, when Rockefeller built the state university, which he did and which he gets great credit for, I think the assumption was he was going to put one SUNY campus in every Republican senator's district. That didn't work out, as they say up here, too good for him.
Yeah. And I think at the same time, the principle was every legislator sees it as their responsibility to protect those institutions of public higher education in their districts. We applaud that because, really, we have a system that can serve students across the state from every background and in any area that they're interested in pursuing.
Leader Cole, I guess I wanted to ask you this. You know, I may be the president of this public radio station, but there's a second job market here for all the people who work here. Our producer, David Gustina, or Ian Pickus, Joe Donahue, all these people, they all have jobs as part-time professors. And that's always been a difficult thing for the union, right? I mean, you have to protect them, too, as well as the professors who, you know, basically are living off the sweat of the adjunct professors.
You know, and I think the growing trend has been throughout public higher education, in fact, higher education in general, to hire more and more adjuncts and part-time faculty. Right. SUNY is actually unique in that the percentages are not as high, for instance, as they are at CUNY. Or even at some of the private institutions. And I think that's a function of where a lot of our campuses are located. When I was a department chair at Cobleskill, we had a really difficult time finding folks who could do the teaching when we needed adjuncts in a very rural community, even more difficult for places like Delhi and Alfred. And so what we have seen, however, is an increase even in those communities of a dependency on part-time faculty. These folks are incredibly important and valuable to the university. The per-course salaries that they get paid are not a living wage.
They're abysmal.
And I think that it is a way for the campuses to save money, but I think it absolutely impacts the quality of the education. Students don't have the access to the services that faculty and staff can provide when there are too many part-timers.
Well, one thing that can be said for the whole idea of this abuse is that these people don't have to go to faculty meetings.
Absolutely.
There was a joke there somewhere.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask you about the price of higher education. How much does it cost to go to a SUNY room and board and tuition now?
Right, and that varies by campus in terms of the total cost. Tuition is, roughly speaking, around $7,000 per semester. The real cost is now in fees and room and board. Tuition is about 25% of the actual cost of education at SUNY.
Exactly.
And so whenever there's talk about, well, we're going to have free tuition, that's all well and good. But in fact, 75% of the costs still remain out there.
So is that a shot at Governor Cuomo's program?
No, I think that, you know, Governor Cuomo was addressing the issue of getting more access to the middle class. The problem with Excelsior, two problems with Excelsior is, yeah, there still are those fees and other costs that continue to rise. And then the other thing is making sure there's enough resources getting to the SUNY campuses who are taking in more students be under the Excelsior program.
Well, Fred Cole, let me ask you this. Shouldn't college, I've always believed this, maybe it's the socialist part of me, shouldn't college be absolutely free? When I went to Hunter in the Bronx, it was free. And then they put a little student fee on, and the students went out on strike. And so shouldn't it be free?
Well, that depends. Well, I certainly would have a problem with the children of, and I don't mean to pick on him, of Donald Trump getting to college for free. I think it's imperative that we make college affordable. Our UUP is on record, as is our national affiliate, the American Federation of Teachers, in supporting the Obama proposal, which was community college free. We would like to go further, the first 2 years free, with the idea that this gets folks into the door in terms of access, but at the same time, making sure that there is a commitment, and it is a major commitment, a lifestyle commitment, to do the work and also to make some investment in your own education. I think that's important. The other problem, again, I would prefer that there be some sort of recognition that the ability to pay varies based on one's income and one's wealth. And I think that needs to be recognized as well.
So is higher education getting screwed in New York State compared to other allocations of our resources?
I think that the reality is that, and I accept the political reality, that healthcare and aid to localities, especially for P-12, that's where the great emphasis is in the budget. 75% of the budget goes in those two directions.
When you say P-12, that's technical talk for elementary through high school.
Yeah. Now, what I think that, and this is where our major proposals are coming from going forward, is there needs to be an understanding that SUNY uniquely can play a role in addressing major issues facing our state, whether it's the future of healthcare, whether it's achieving the fantastic goals in the climate legislation that was passed in the spring. It's a major emphasis for myself in my academic work, making sure what we are developing and growing in our education system are citizens who take their citizenship tasks seriously, are critical thinkers, all of those important roles. Those are things SUNY can do, which is why we are proposing, as we are, very ambitious and aspirational goals for SUNY, because we think, in all honesty, that has been missing from SUNY, that there is almost just getting through every year in terms of the budget. But instead, what we need is aspirational goals. We need a vision for the next 10 years. I would argue a vision for the next 5 years through 2025.
Fred Cole, let me try to get you into some trouble, if I may.
Sure.
We've had a series of people who become the leaders at SUNY, the academic leaders. How is the present chancellor doing right now?
I think the chancellor already in just in the area of sustainability and addressing the climate crisis is remarkably gifted given her background. And we are looking forward to working with her on that. She has, developed some great ideas on where SUNY can go. At the same time, I am eager to work with her, and all of UUP is eager to work with the leadership of SUNY on these issues and getting more funding. One area where I think there needs to be a greater commitment on her part and the leadership of SUNY is the SUNY hospitals, which are so crucial to healthcare, especially, you know, at upstate and in central Brooklyn, but also even out on Long Island. You know, people have the mistaken notion that, you know, Long Island is all the Hamptons. The Stony Brook Hospital out in eastern end of Long Island serves an incredibly diverse population, including a large number of individuals who are Medicaid patients who have a very difficult time paying. And yet these public hospitals, we like to call them the people's hospitals, treat everyone.
So how is the governor doing on that?
Well, the resources have not been forthcoming in the governor's proposed budgets over the last couple years.
Quite the opposite,
Yeah, there was a subsidy that existed for the last 10 years or so that has been zeroed out. Fortunately, in his last budget proposal last year, there was an increase in what's called DSH funding, the disproportionate share funding. It's a state program. It's actually a federal program with state money that matches. And that was a help. What we're calling for, though, is a reestablishment of that public funding that existed prior to last year.
So you've got to have a tough time here, Fred Cole, because one of the things that is happening is that some of the people who work at these hospitals are paid inordinate amounts of money, a lot of money. And you've got to defend that, don't you?
We do, but looking more carefully at their salaries, in fact, the great majority of their salary comes from private sources. That is the clinics that they serve, the clinical practice plans that they're a part of. That's where 75-80%, sometimes more, of their salary comes from. Their state salaries are actually a much smaller proportion of that. But nonetheless, these are specialists. They're also educators and researchers because they're teaching hospitals.
And yet, it seems to me, out of the murky stuff that I read, when I look at who have the highest salaries in New York State, when they put that out every once in a while,
right,
it's almost inevitably somebody in a medical school run by SUNY, right?
That is true. I saw the last listing, and it was impressive, except for almost all of them were administrators, not members of
UUP. Well, yeah, but still.
Yeah. But still. Yes.
But still. Okay. Now, when you represent the workers, people like me, after all, I should disclose, of course, that I was in your union for a long time.
That's right.
40 years or so. What are the number one things you have to look at? I mean, to me, I had a choice between taking a SUNY pension or taking Tia Cref.
Right.
I took Tia Cref because it was...
So did I.
Yeah. Because it meant you could go from one place to another and keep your
right.
pension.
Right.
So that was pretty important. Do you have to negotiate with people like TIAA, CREF, or with the pension people to make sure that the workers aren't getting screwed?
No, that's handled legislatively. So that is one thing that we don't have to negotiate.
Yeah, but then you got to go to the legislators, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
You do
correct.
Lobby, I take it?
Somewhat, yeah. It's a public university. We have to, as I try to impress on our members, those who don't, you know, want to consider the fact that we are all public employees, that makes us subject to political decisions. We're all political animals at heart.
Indeed we are, and you're a political scientist.
Right, that's a mixed blessing and a curse.
I get it.
Yeah, but the idea that we try to impress on our members is we advocate, you know, certainly we advocate for ourselves, but one of the things that I'm very proud of, and I insisted on it when I came in as UUP president 7 years ago, that our union could not just be the kind of union that my father was a part of. He was part of the IBEW, great union. They're doing some fantastic work in terms of alternate energy sources and so forth. But back then, for him, the union was, they get me my raises, they get me my job safety, and that's it.
Now
we have to do more. We have to advocate for our students, for the idea of higher education and those values. That's what's important, too.
Now, Fred, one of the things that you have to worry about, of course, is the idea that, you know, you got to get along with these legislators. Is that difficult for you? Because some of them, you know, have never been great people in terms of doing that what they ought to be doing. You mentioned Senator Stavisky.
Right. Yep.
Being somebody who is good to you, right?
Yes. Yep.
Are there those who are bad to you?
No, I have found by and large on both sides of the aisle in both houses, we get a good hearing. There are, you know, individuals who will ask tough questions, who have a philosophy that says, no, we don't believe in public higher education getting too much money. They prefer to support the private institutions. I totally understand that. I accept that philosophical distance.
That seems to have gone by the way.
Yeah, it has. But no, we have found that we've gotten a good hearing, and I think it's important that two things as a part of our advocacy and our lobbying. One is we present information that legislators can use and can understand so that they know where we're coming from. But the second thing that we do, and I think it's also vitally important, is as we propose what we are asking for, it's to address issues. We never go in and say, we need money. That's it. Because, you know, legislators get exhausted. I know. I used to be a staff member when I worked in Washington, D.C. At a certain point, you get burned out by people coming and asking for money. What I prefer is the same as I preferred when I was a staff member. Help me solve a problem. Then we can talk. And that's how we approach things.
So, Fred, because of court ruling, obviously, people who are in your union don't have to pay dues.
Those who choose not to be members do not have to pay dues. That's
so correct. How is that working out? In other words, are there an awful lot of people who have taken that tact, or do most people understand this is my responsibility?
Most people have taken it as their responsibility. We've had a very small number of individuals who have chosen to opt out, to quit. You know, by and large, what we have found is people understand the importance of the union in terms of what we've been able to negotiate, and then also the advocacy that we do. And let's not forget that no one can be certain that day in and day out, their boss, their supervisor may not turn into someone who is hostile and dangerous to them professionally or otherwise.
Would you represent them if, in fact, that happened? In other words, somebody who didn't pay money to the union, would you being their advocate?
According to state law, as of now 2 years, those who are brought up on disciplinary charges, we no longer have to represent them if they're not a card-carrying member of UUP. And we will not.
Oh, and you will not. That's interesting. Talk to me about the governor. How's he doing? 1 to 10.
1 to 10? I would give him an 8, which is like a solid B. I think we cannot underestimate the importance that he has placed on access. That's the goal. I mean, that's what Rockefeller's goal was. Access, so that everyone has an opportunity to go to public higher education or higher education in general. What hurts his grade is the fact that the long-term support for the public university systems has not been there. However, I'm not going to put all of the blame just on him. The fact is, the legislature has to make choices as well. And then there's a responsibility on the SUNY itself to advocate. You know, it's not a good situation when UUP is the loudest voice demanding more funding
for
SUNY.
That's right, Fred Cole. But my question is, do the SUNY people play enough of a role? If not, are they not playing that role because they're scared of their boss, the governor?
I would not begin to try to surmise what their motives are. You know, I think, you know, when I look at the Board of Trustees, you've got some really high-powered people there. Christina Johnson, you know, comes from an excellent academic background from Duke, from Johns Hopkins. She was in the Obama administration. These are some folks with some political heft.
But you don't really think the Board of Trustees are the ones who are important in all of this. It's the leadership at SUNY. It's the chancellor, the vice chancellors. And my problem with them is I think sometimes that they're too scared of the governor.
That may well be the case, but I think, you know, at various times, Carl McCall was a very strong advocate for SUNY. And, you know, again, I think there's an example that others can follow. We're looking to partner. We understand that there are circumstances where individuals at the leadership of any state agency might be hesitant, certainly in attacking the governor. We don't take any satisfaction from attacking the governor. I think that, you know, to a certain extent, it's a dead end street. We have to work with the governor.
Yeah, no, he can be mean. I know that. I know him pretty well. Have you had an opportunity to sit down with him and have a cookie and some coffee?
We've had a couple of conversations over the years. By and large, our work is much more of, you know, working with their staff, especially now as they're developing their proposed budget.
Right. And how does that process work?
It's Byzantine. And,
is it?
Absolutely.
So you have to do what?
Well, I think that our approach is always not to, as I said, walk in with our hands open asking for money. We propose solutions to problems facing the state. And as a way for us to work with the governor so that the governor and the legislature are literally the ones solving these problems, we can't do it. We can propose ideas. They can put them into practice.
When you are testifying and you get some mean legislator who decides that you know, you're deficient because of your color or because any of that stuff. Do you ever want to scratch the itch and fight back, or do you think you have to eat it?
Given my role, I have to eat it and then go home and exercise strenuously to work off all the frustration. It is, at the same time, if I am challenged and I feel that there are factual errors being made that I can refute, I will do so.
Well, I can think of one really particularly obnoxious state senator who tends to unload on people, a Democrat, for no good reason, and just thinks that's his persona. And I think those people deserve to be brought up short, personally. And I would like to think if I was in your spot, I would bring them up short.
My philosophy of public servants is, what's the role of a public servant? Obviously, to serve the public, to solve problems, to make the society better. I'm not sure if that kind of behavior on the part of an elected official benefits anyone.
Yeah, yeah.
And certainly not the society they're serving.
So I got a minute and 30 seconds. I wanted to ask you, have you ever thought of running for political office yourself?
Yes, I have, off and on.
You worked in Congress. That's one of the bug.
Yeah, yeah. And that was a while ago.
Me too.
Yeah. And but at the same time, I enjoy this. I enjoy the folks that I work with, with our members. They're some of the brightest people on planet Earth. And so to work with them, to represent them as best I can, and then to come up with ideas. That's what I like more than anything else.
Well, it's been great talking to you, Fred Cole, and I got to say I'm delighted that you're our leader, that while I may not be in the union anymore, I will always be in your union and grateful for what you had done for me, I'll tell you right now.
Well, thank you.
We're out of time. Our guest has been Fred Cole, president of UUP, United University Professions, the nation's largest public higher education union. Again, Fred, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.